Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We recommend you try it at home. Paperboy from Mindscape for your Nintendo Entertainment System.
The rest of the commercial is very visual. So.
I was about to say that was very short.
It was very brief. Hey, everybody, this is Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I threw all my papers right where they were meant to go, including all those windows and right into the dog's face, plus that robber. So you should be very glad I hit that guy. Now that I think about it, maybe I should quit delivering papers and get my extreme sports on and skate or die.
Yeah, skate or die. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and apparently this swarm of bees wants me to either skate. Well, yeah, which I was already doing. Thank you very much. Or die, like you had said. So I'm out, which is fine because I have to get to my day job where I ride my bike while tossing rolled up newspapers at houses, dogs, kids on big wheels, crazy jackhammer guys, ladies from the 80s. Am I right? And yep, get chased by bees. What the hell, Atari?
Yeah, pedal what the faster. Hell indeed. You know, when you put a coin in an Atari machine of this era, you'd hear this.
I love that sound.
Remember that?
That was like Gauntlet.
All of
any of the Atari System 1 and 2 games would boom.
Yeah, I feel like they had like a standard ass, like, I don't know, in a meeting somewhere, someone said, make sure every game has that going on or else we're not making it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It was encouraging, though.
Yeah.
You meant you put the money in there and the money registered.
Yep. You'd put it in and then you would hear, then you'd hear this. Listen to that cowbell. Old cowbell, man, for video games. Not bad. Anyway, we'll get into all that in a second. We're going to talk about Paperboy. We're going to talk about 720. We're going to talk about the Atari System 2 boards, which were responsible for these two games and others at the time. Mm-hmm. We'll get into all of that. But before we do, a little bit about what we've been doing retro this week. And for me, I have been working out this. I use my Amberneck every day.
Oh, yeah. Every day. Me too, man.
I love this thing so much. Still haven't done a proper affiliate link, although I think you have.
I did. I had an affiliate link that I had no longer used, and I just said, you know what? I'm just going to use this one on Amazon, and then whatever comes in, we'll just split these.
Yeah, we'll just split it and do whatever we got to do.
Yeah.
But I have not done that at all because I'm lazy and I'm too busy playing with it. Anyway, the Amberneck, mm-hmm. that is. So this thing has been amazing. I was telling Brian pre-show I'm getting back into Fire Emblem, which I haven't played in ages. That game is so good. The original Fire Emblem on here is so good. No wonder it turned into a big mega hit for them down the road, including today on Switch. And I'm tempted to try one of the newer ones, but these old ones, there's something about them. Something there.
Do you ever stick your Amberneck RG 35XX in your pocket?
Yes.
Have you stuck it in your pocket?
I have. I didn't like it, and here's why. I don't trust my pocket, number one.
Okay.
Here's why I don't trust my pocket. I think sometimes...
Is it too hot in your pocket?
No, it's linty, right? You got lint in there, like you do. It's just pockets. Right. But I'm always worried some little hard piece of material or jeans or something is going to mess with my screen. Now, this thing comes with a screen protector. I didn't put it on there because I'm like, well, I'm going to take care of this.
That would be efficient.
I'm going to take care of this. I'm not going to let it get gross or ruined. But then I remembered, oh, yeah, if I want to put it in my pocket, I'm going to gouge this thing up. So I really don't that often. Normally, I carry it with me, and I'm not going too far with it. If I'm leaving somewhere with it, I've got like a bag with other stuff anyway, so I'll take it there. I gingerly put it in the car's glove box the other day.
You kind of put it in there like a redhead from Gilligan's Island? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, like Ginger would.
Yeah.
If she was off the island and had access to the Ambernic RG35XX. Right. But anyway, I wrapped it gently in a blanket of napkins from like Wendy's. They were unused. Just extra things. Made it all blankety and then stuck it in there very softly while I went and did other stuff. So I do that sometimes.
That's anyway, brilliant.
I've been playing. Here's the weird thing, though. This is what I've decided to do with my time. I've been messing with old PC Engine games. Like,
old freaking... Because you didn't have a PC Engine equivalent game or system back in the day, right?
No, I did not. I considered it. So, you know, we're talking 16-bit.
TurboGrafx 16.
Here in the States, it was TurboGrafx 16. But I knew of it, and I knew that it was famous for Bonk and a few other things that were supposed to be good.
Right.
But everybody by then was raving about the either already out or barely out or upcoming Genesis, Super Nintendo. People were raving about Master System NES. Like, it was already clear that it didn't look like TurboGrafx was going to have a big market share, or at least to me, it wasn't. It was. So I didn't really bother back then. But what I found after going through so much of this is there's a lot of underrated cool stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
And things we probably should cover on the show.
One of the best Splatterhouse versions.
Yep.
Is actually on there, which we talked about.
Yeah, it's very good. You know, also one of the better Bomberman games. Bomberman 93 is very good and is on there. So, yeah, I guess I've just gained a better appreciation for it. The only thing I've noticed, and this is, you know, just by sheer success and failure out there, but there are way less games on there and way more on its competitors. But I feel like the quality to quantity ratio is pretty strong on the PC Engine / TurboGrafx. So anyway, just a little love in its direction. You know, I wanted to throw my love across the across the pond to NEC. I'm sad that this didn't work out and you didn't go on to be some famous, you know, console maker because your stuff was pretty good.
It was pretty good. It was solid. Like you said, they had a good quality control of the games that they were putting out. It did really feel good. And I had seen a TurboGrafx 16 at the Game Cache, which is a local retro gaming store that I sometimes go to. And it was on my list to pick up, and I just haven't been back that way yet to pick it up. So now you're making me want to take a trip this weekend. Thanks a lot,
Scott. Get out there, like, dude. Get her done, as the stupid comedian says. Yeah, what'd you do this week? What'd you get up to?
Well, before I want to reproach just one thing that you said about the Ambernic RG35XX that you said that, you know, you're very ginger with it and you put it in your pocket and you have not put the screen protector on. By the way, when you order these off wherever you get them from, if you order them on Amazon, you can usually find them with a case and a screen protector for pretty inexpensive. We've already had a couple of people in the community who said they've dropped theirs and they've cracked the screen. So I know how accident droppy you are. So just be extra careful. I've ordered directly from Ambernic. I have not broke my screen. As you can see, it's quite well off. I've ordered a replacement screen from Ambernic Direct and one from AliExpress. I'm going to check both of them out.
What for?
AliExpress. And I'm going to check both of them out to see how they compare. It was $35 free shipping. Yeah. And I just contacted Ambernic directly. And that's, they said $35, some PayPal money. They're sending it out. Takes about a week or so. Ali or AliExpress, however you want to say it. It's going to probably be about 2 weeks. And I think it was like around $25 after shipping and taxes and everything. So I'll keep everybody up to date on that. And I'll probably hook them up completely just to see what the quality is like. And I'll look at the numbers and all that stuff. But that's just a little be careful out there. Be careful out there, people.
Yeah. Don't go chasing waterfalls. All right. But stick to the rivers.
Right. But I did flash for just a second. I flashed up the grip controller I have. I got some, as we talked about earlier, we talked about doing some 3D printing stuff, and I'd actually done just that. I ordered some translucent purple filament that kind of matches the Ambernic translucent purple version that we've seen. And I've printed out some grips on here, and it looks pretty decent, I think. It almost matches the purple buttons on the device itself. It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It was a pain in the butt to print because this filament stuff is very subject to moisture. And so I had to dry it out for like about a day before I could actually print. It kept peeling off and wouldn't stick. But I really enjoyed adding this grip. I noticed you didn't have any grip on yours when you was holding it.
It's upstairs. I have it upstairs and I use it at night. The one you printed for me. Yeah. I use it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And what else? So I also did this. I did this as well.
What'd you do? Oh my gosh. Spit it out, man.
It's more of a visual thing. So you'll just have to imagine and we'll describe it as well. Right. But I went on Amazon and I decided that I wanted to order.
Oh, shut up. You got the Mario hat?
I had to get a Cappy.
Look at that.
I had to get a Cappy. I just had to do it. I've been watching a lot of older Mario things. And so I had to head to Amazon. I was a little worried because I see these all the time. You know, they look amazing in the pictures.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, ooh, but I bet they suck when you get them. And so I ordered this. Fits my big head, even though it kind of is up right now. I've got two hats on right now. But man, this is quality. I'll post a link to this somewhere so that people, if they're interested, I can soundly recommend this Cappy.
Okay, but is it going to fit my fat monster?
It will.
Believe
it or not, it's got an elastic band and it stretches a lot. And it's very comfortable. I have a big head too, you know, Scott.
My head is not. No one looks at me or you and goes, oh, look at their giant heads. We look fine proportionally, but when you try to put a hat on us, they don't fit like worth shit.
Okay? That's because you see us next to each other and you're like, oh, there's a big head and there's a big head. It's fine. They look normal size. But you put us next to a normal human being. Yeah. And these are like normal hands, right?
Yeah.
They're not. They're giants.
Mine too. Look at these things.
You know, right? It's like, but, but yeah, I was surprised. And I also ordered some mustaches too, just for funsies, because I was like, you know, I got like this.
You ordered some, like hold on. The phrase, I can't let you just say this phrase and then mustaches. Walk away from it. I ordered some mustaches. No, what'd you say?
Mustachios.
That is a weird thing.
Mustachios.
Why did you do that? Just so you could wear them underneath his hat or what?
Well, no, to wear on top of my regular facial hair, because I got facial hair.
Yeah.
But I was like, it'll look weird if I don't add extra facial hair to the top. Because I was thinking about it, because I put the hat on. I was like, oh, man, I probably need to. So I ordered some of these stupid mustachios.
What will look weird is that Mario has
mustachios.
Mario with a beard is weird. That's pretty weird.
Yeah, it is, right? Yeah. So I was like, okay, do I fully commit?
Yeah.
Or do I try to pull something ganky? So we'll just see.
I have I drew Mario with a beard once because I wanted to know what he'd look like.
Oh, did you now?
Yeah, this is forever ago, like 100 years ago. Yeah, this looks stupid. Check this out. You can tell it's all my old shit. Oh, I hate it. Okay, that's fine, though.
Oh, that's okay. So, we all loved it.
I don't know about it. Yeah, well, some people liked it. Okay, so there it is. That's there's Mario looking all hobo-y with his stupid beard.
Oh, I that, and to see is still recognizable as Mario, so it's weird that Mario could have a beard, and he's still, as long as I don't have a push broom, I don't have that upper push broom, I have just a regular broom.
Yeah, no, I get it.
If you had the big old push broom mustache, even with a beard, it still looks like the Mario.
Yep, and I made
the Mario.
I made him one with the elephant trunk, like this new thing they showed off, the Wonder game.
That's right. Because we've got if you haven't been keeping up with Nintendo lately, they're doing all kinds of really fun stuff. And that's really prompted me to want to do a revisit on the Mario RPG stuff.
We should probably that's a classic. Whole show about that. We probably
should. Which gets a little closer.
Yep. I think I'm in full agreement there. Well, anyway, let's get to the business at hand here. We're going to talk about games. All right. That's what we do here. And here's the intro for that.
Shall we play a game?
Yeah, we can play a couple of them in particular. We're going to start with one. I think this time we'll start with Paperboy. So this came out in 1984, big year for movies and video games. It felt like it was a big year. And this was one that sucked me into arcades and I felt like I never left. Now, this would have been just after the crash where my dad lost his whole arcade business.
So oh my gosh, that feels like betrayal.
Yeah, even though 85 is technically that year, but 84 is the year that a lot of these games came out and then persisted and then still did well after the crash. This was one of them. 720 was one of those. They hung in there. But by then, my dad was like, I got to liquidate. We can't do this, blah, blah, blah. So we had to get out of it. Man. So if things had gone well, this should have been in my living room, this game. Should have been there.
Right. Yeah.
Same with the other one. Same with 720. Instead, I had to go spend my hard-earned quarters with my friend Mark at the freaking mall, the Gold Mine, it was called, this arcade.
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was right next to the Sparrow, which still obviously exists. And it was amazing. It had this controller that looked sort of like a motorcycle, but it was like a bike, right? It was like the handlebars. Right. And had buttons and switches on it so you can do the thing. And you're trying to deliver papers and do it in a way that is accurate and gives you big points. Here's a bit what that sounded like.
Disguised as a likable juvenile delinquent, Paperboy journeys through a world of incredible danger.
This voice VO, dude. There's more coming. Listen to this. I think the kid himself talks in a second. I think he does. No, maybe not.
Oh, he will definitely talk.
At some point, he hits something.
Am I great or what?
Oh, yeah. What do you make? Am I great or what? Meh.
Now, that's okay. So we got to remember, this is Paperboy from 1984, the arcade. You didn't have voice actors come in. You just assigned or put out a call to people who were on staff. And this is what happened here, at least according to where we get most of our information today, our memories, as well as the classic game Postmortem Paperboy with John Sawitz. Who went into deep detail about the development and how, you know, everything went afterwards with Paperboy. He sat down and talked to all the developers from back in the day, refreshed his memory, and it's an amazing watch on YouTube. Classic game Postmortem Paperboy with John Sawitz. And there was on staff who did the voice work.
Oh, sorry. I just watched that stupid little RC car run my thing over right as you said that, and it pissed me off.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Anyway,
so
this game is hard, dude. Can I just bring up this real quick? Like,
yeah.
This is an arcade game. They're designed to take your quarters, right? That's the idea.
Right.
And so they're going to ramp up in difficulty. That's the whole concept. This game is a piece of shit. I don't mean it's a bad game. It's an amazing game. But this game wants to eat my soul, spit it out, eat it again, and then set it on fire. It's so mad at me. Yep. For trying to be mediocre at its hard game.
It is. There's a couple of things pushing here. So this is a time when that's what, like you said, just is trying to eat your money. So the first thing they have to consider when they're doing these games is they have to go, okay, we got a hook within 30 seconds. So the gameplay has got to be compelling. One of the ways they can do that is having a wonky controller, like a really cool controller that gets you kind of engaged. And that's what they did here. They took that old Star Wars controller from the arcade.
Yep.
That you know what I'm talking about, right? The one that the Vector one.
Yep.
And so they put handlebars on that, and you push forward to go faster and you pull back to slow down. You cannot stop. This is one of the first endless runners that I really remember, besides like games like Zaxxon, but this is a runner actually. You're actually going forward. So you can pull the brake as much as you want, but you're still rolling. You never flip over unless you run into something.
Right. Some of those things you run into are bastards. Like one is a lawnmower that for some reason is run by a ghost. There's nobody actually using the lawnmower. It just comes out to hit you. Sometimes there's a tire flying down the street. Sometimes it's a dog or a cat or whatever. Every possible annoying thing life can throw at you to get in your way and stop you from delivering papers is in this game.
And have you watched Paperboy the musical?
Shut up. What?
From some years ago, Random Encounters posted Paperboy the musical. And let me see. It shouldn't be a problem us playing it here, at least some of it. But it's kind of hilarious because they talk about, you know, where all those tires come from, and they answer it. I'm posting it in the Discord.
Yeah, put it in Discord
chat now.
All right.
Up. This is Paperboy the musical. It's quite hilarious talking about all the different weird shit that happens in Paperboy.
Do they actually sing?
They'll sing here in a second.
Yeah, let's see. What is it actually playing? Oh, that. Okay. Paperboy, the musical.
By Random Encounters.
Woo! 6 years ago.
All right, so he's... Is he Cousin Ed or something?
No, there is like this long-haired hippie character.
Keep driving.
Long playing Paperboy.
It's a lovely Monday morning. My ex is still asleep. I'll take off all her tires and roll them down the street. It sounds a bit vindictive, but I swear it's nothing new. I've been doing it for weeks now. Rolling wheels is what I do. Hey.
All right. They kind of deconstruct the whole game and talk about all the weird stuff. Like you said, like lawnmowers that are riding along, kids that pop out of nowhere. Now, you also got to remember, we're talking about Paperboy, the arcade, but that's not what everybody experienced it from. The much bigger one is the NES, but we're going to stick with the arcade for a minute because that's the one I grew up with. And in my opinion, is the much
superior by a million miles. If you guys listen, if you played the NES game, great. That's what you had. You played it. That's maybe that's all you saw. And I'm not blaming you for liking it. But if you're going to compare these two games, there's no comparison. The NES game vastly inferior.
Yeah, and you can't go, oh well, you know, though it was this poor design. No, it was actually really good design on the NES. The hardware was the limitation. The Atari System 2 at that time walks all over hardware that's in the NES. Yeah. Not even a question. It just murders it. You can tell it from the sound, from the, you know, the speed of the game, the number of things that are on screen. And this also, this game was using a standard, or what was it called? I think it's called a medium monitor. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there was, like there's a medium monitor. There's like the, what you would usually see, which was a little lower resolution, but this was using at the time, a higher resolution monitor.
I remember seeing it going, ooh, next level.
It was sharp.
Yeah, this looked amazing. In fact, there were quite a few years there where this just held the hell up. And
it's still, even to this day, it still holds up, even though we don't have the patience for games that are impossible in the first 30 seconds. In this game, is impossible even in the first 30 seconds. If you haven't played it in a minute,
it's hard, dude. Yeah, if you're not, if it's been a while for you, freaking good luck, dude. Look at these two guys fighting out in the road. What are they doing? They're right in my way. Oh, yeah, get out of there.
Everything is so, if you've never played Paperboy, it's the isometric view. It's coming at an angle. It's very similar to Zaxxon, but it's shifted a little bit because you got to be able to see the side of the houses that you're trying to deliver papers to. Yeah. So you're kind of stuck in this lower right-hand corner of gameplay, and everything is trying to push you into the road where cars and oncoming traffic is coming in. People are, you know, and you got people jackhammering, and all at the same time, you're in constant movement and you're trying to toss papers to your subscribers and also destroy the windows in your non-subscribers because you get some bonus points for that too.
Yeah, because you want to encourage best way to encourage somebody to get you on their route is to blow up all their stuff and break their windows. That's the best way to do it. It makes perfect business
sense. I was curious about how that functioned. You start out on Easy Street. At least that's how I always start out. There's three different streets you can go on. It's easy. It's not Middle Street, but there's something like that. Then the hard way.
Yeah.
And it increasingly gets harder. But you start out with a set number of subscriptions and you deliver to those houses. If you miss their house or break their window, you lose them in the next round. This game plays Monday through Sunday. So each day gets a little bit more difficult. And if you screw it up on Monday, you lose them on Tuesday.
How you feel about the dirt bike bullshit they put at the end of every
race? So I actually like the dirt bike bullshit. So
I hate it.
At the end of each day.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate the value of what they were doing. But at the end of each day, when you run your deliveries, you get to the end of the road and you're into your path and you do a little obstacle course and it's got like bullseyes you can throw papers at. So if you got any papers left over, you can add some more damage bonuses there and stuff and really rack up your score. By the way, the papers are limited and you have more pickups along the way. So you have to watch out for that. But I really kind of liked it. Also, the fact it actually makes you feel like, okay, so we talk about this lots of times, chore core. This is a chore core game. And at the end, instead of just completing your route for the day, you get to do a kind of a celebration because you get to run this little, you know, dirt track and people are at the end cheering you on. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that works because it wouldn't make sense to feel accomplished for just doing your job.
Yeah. But the idea that at the end of every paper route is this amazing freaking off-road
Paperboy works hard and he plays hard. So so he gets out there, baby. You know, he's done it. He's still got some energy left. He's going to hit the BMX track. He's going to make some sweet jumps.
Yeah.
And he's going to have people with shirts on out there that says, I love Paperboy.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate the game for what it is. And I have to admit, I enjoyed revisiting it. I had a lot of fun with it. Using a controller is not as optimal as using a, you know, that weird bike thing.
is terrible.
Yeah, it's not awesome.
Yeah.
But it does get the job done. I didn't get super far. I did pretty bad.
Yeah.
And even in a world where, well, now I'm in a world where I'm like, you know, not really putting real quarters into this. I'm just putting fake ones in. I kind of rage quit at the end. I was just like,
oh yeah, you totally do. Cause it's like, oh, because it is, it's repetitive, which was necessary because the scale of the game is pretty large, even in, you know, 1984 standards. So they had a lot of graphics on here. You're talking about going constantly and going at a pretty fast pace.
Yeah. That's never stopping. You never had time to notice that you were repeating a lot of content.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you were just like, oh, blah, 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 go, go, go. I got to keep going.
Yeah.
Like you just don't have to, you had no time to think about it. And so even though you'd seen that death guy scooching around once or twice before, or you've seen the robber twice, or that stupid RC car that I want to kill.
RC cars are pretty rough.
Yeah. You know why? Because they don't have any, there's no prediction as to what they're going to do.
Yeah. They're placed on the map in some form or fashion that you can't quite tell. Maybe they're off just a little bit because you're already talking about looking at something isometric view. And it's even more confusing when you was at the arcade because you pushed to go faster and pulled to go to slow down.
Yeah.
But that is like what, like perpendicular to the screen.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of disconnect already. And so, yeah, it gets, there's a lot of physics and math that you have to consider. Like even when you throw in the paper, the paper flies across horizontal to you. Not the paperboy, so he's almost kind of tossing it behind him. He just kind of floop.
A little bit, right? And he thinks he's real fancy. When he hits a target real well, he'll go, look at me, I'm freaking awesome, or whatever.
Yeah, there's all kinds of this was one of those games that always attracted me. It's got this amazing music and all these great, you know, little quips and stuff. It's I find myself laughing quite often because it almost seems like some of the things are intentionally being assholes. And it's like, come on, lady in a car who's like parked in her garage just waiting for the paperboy to come by to come flying out. I don't know why everybody's so mad at me, but
did the developers, you know, have this idea that paperboys are just this what's the word? The stereotype that they're all troublemakers, you know, they're just up to no good.
That was the idea. They wanted to let you choose, and this is all in the moratorium, they want to let you choose how you want to play. So that's kind of unique during this time, because usually you have one mission and there's no, it's just all complete mission. It's all logical. Yeah. Here you get to make decisions. It's like, do I want to waste some of my papers that causing some damage at non-subscribers? Screw those people. So you can kind of play it a little bit evil. Get to choose.
That's true.
How you want to play it.
I do like that when you've cleared it, you are in tomorrow's paper. Literally, you're going to deliver yourself.
Right. So the in-between screens, which breaks up the stress of freaking trying to be an on all day, you get to read these little cute little, little blurbs and articles.
Yeah. Look, it says right here, amazing. It's the front page of the Daily Sun. It says extra, extra, amazing paperboy delivers, earns honors, big bucks, mysterious big bucks. Vandalism baffles police, hero paperboy stops thief. A rough job, but ... Like all these headlines are amazing. They get the whole papers about that kid, and then he just delivers them. And then if you get to the end, you're in the paper tomorrow too.
Yeah, or you get fired, and it says Paperboy sucks, and people unsubscribe, and
get off my lawn. And
it's a very immersive game. It gives you an opportunity to play as a paperboy if you've never had a chance. Paperboys were not really a big thing when this game was out. I mean, they still existed, but not to the degree they probably had.
I think we were past that prime. I think maybe mid-60s through mid-70s was probably the heyday for that.
Yeah, so I never had an opportunity to be a paper boy. So kind of stepping into these shoes and getting away from, space shooting and doing all these big heroic things and just being kind of, small town kind of heroic.
Yeah.
There's
room for all of us, Brian. All of us.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the world. I remember loving this game. I love that dang
control. Now, you poor suckers at home, you heard this. Boy, that isn't quite the same vibe, is it?
It's not.
Oh, it's louder, too. At home, the NES version, a big hit, by the way, sales hit, did real well.
Oh, yeah, it blew the arcade numbers away.
Mm-hmm. And, it's the reason that it was a lucrative thing. But as you can see in this video, if you're watching live or the archive, it's, It's a little rough. It's not.
Yeah, it is definitely not the arcade version. You know, the colors are scaled back a lot. We're just using the NES color palette. But most of the game mechanics are here. You're slowing down, speeding up. You don't have your cool controller anymore. You're just using the regular old D-pad and a couple of buttons.
Yeah.
But
you know what? I have to say the NES version did control better for me. Like, it felt better.
Oh, absolutely. Because it was designed, right? It was designed to use, the controller you probably had in your hand. It was digital input versus the analog input that you're probably trying to use with your analog stick.
There's a break dancer in this one. I forgot about that.
Oh yeah, there's break dancers in this. It's always fun. Now the one at the arcade, he actually looks like he's break dancing.
Yeah.
The one here, he just looks like he's having a spasm.
A bit of a problem. Yeah.
Say he's got something in his pants and he's trying to work him out.
Someone needs to come help him. But I'm also noticing a lot of
flashing. So there's a lot of flashing. Yeah, right?
It's pretty rough. But that's the state of the NES at the time. That's what you did.
It's asking a lot of the NES to redraw this at kind of a funky angle.
Yeah.
They were pretty good at redrawing the edge of screens already. And I think it's a 10 gen thing too. So they did an okay job. It's still, you recognize this Paperboy.
If I saw this playing then, I would have said, whoa, you have this at home? Like, I would have freaked out. I don't remember any of my friends having this though at home. I just remember it being, I remember going, well, there's no way that's as good as the arcade, and I moved on, you know?
Yeah, I was very much of that. In the 8-bit generation, I think we were all kind of, it's like, oh, well, especially if you got burnt with Pac-Man on the Atari 2600, you wasn't really interested in seeing any more thing coming from the arcade going to home consoles. You're like, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm okay now. Thanks a lot though, but we appreciate it.
So Atari brought us the amazing Paperboy at the arcade, but then it destroyed us at home with this 2600 down conversions of arcade games.
Whoops, sorry, I didn't mean to play that. Now check this out though. They weren't done with this board, okay? The System 2 board.
Oh yeah.
You put another quarter in into a machine that was just up the way, and it looked pretty radical, as the kids then might have said. And here's what that radical sounded like. Yep, what you're hearing there is the sounds of the fantastic 720 degrees.
Yeah, we just
call it 720, right?
That's 2 360s.
That's right. We just called it 720 though. We didn't bother.
Yeah. It's like, who said degrees? Nobody said degrees.
This was an extreme future sporty looking skateboarding piece of business, and it was using the same system hardware as we mentioned, and sounded a lot like Paperboy, to be honest. A lot of the same, not the same exact assets, but you could tell this sound chip was pooping out both, you know?
Yeah.
You just tell.
It is very similar because, like you said, this one was a modular system, the Atari System 2. So it had, it had replaceable ROMs. And one of the most amazing pieces of this game was Milt Lopper. He created the controllers for both of these. A lot of these guys went on to make this. So after Paperboy, John Sawitz and a bunch of the other people that were already working on Paperboy started working on 720.
Right.
And Milt Lopper, who modified that Star Wars bike controller and then made us that controller, he made the salad bowl controller for the 720. And a lot of people forget about this part. That thing was weird. I don't know if you remember
it or not. It was really weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll pull up the chat to see what this looked like. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so you got your joystick on the top, but it is kind of like, it's kind of hard to describe, but it basically is like, imagine taking a wooden spoon and stirring in a big giant bowl.
There you go.
Because that's kind of what it is. It's not like an open bowl because there's like a plate on top of it so that you can't see down inside of it, but essentially it kind of feels like that. And that's really important for pulling off the namesake of the game, which is the 720.
So you look at this picture, it's like you're right about the stirring. It's like stirring the controller.
It's like
which
stirring
is
something.
Unlike any other, no other game did this as far as I know. So you didn't have like down the road use for this hardware.
Yeah.
Like they were making it for 720 and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was quite odd. And the moratorium kind of went into it a little bit deeper. You had two buttons, one for kicking and then one for jumping. And if you jumped off a sweet, if you pulled a sweet trick, you could pull a 720. I never was able to do it, especially with my analog stick, my thumb stick, which is what I was using this week. I didn't have no devices that could imitate the salad bowl controller.
Who do we look like? Some kind of freaks who have access to all the coolest things? No.
But I did see some people. I do have a spinner, and I have seen some people play it with the spinner, and that almost feels like cheating because you can really whip a spinner around, you know? And I probably inside, if we looked at the salad bowl, is probably pretty similar.
It's probably a big spinner, doesn't have the option to go, you know, and really hurl it. Yeah. That'd be great to see that stick do that, though. this was a game I mentioned my buddy Mark. My buddy Mark Larson was a freaking, if they had esports for this game back then, he would have been like top player. He was so good at 720. And anytime we went to an arcade, first thing he'd do they have a 720 here? Oh, they do? Okay, yeah. I'll be on this the whole time is basically what he'd do. We'd play maybe Super Sprint or something else together, but he was on to do this the whole time.
Also a System 2 board, by the way. Go ahead.
That's right. That's another game to use that board. Now, it's famous for a couple of things, but one is the catchphrase, the attract mode, which said this when you were walking by it.
Skate or die.
Skate or die. It's a mechanic in the game itself, but also an attract mode noise that would make you go, should I go in there and put my quarters in that there machine?
Well, I've got to because I got to skate or die. And by the way, no relation to the NES game or series of Skate or Die.
Nope. Some people think it's all connected. They are not.
No, it was a common phrase. We were big into, if you're not familiar with 80s culture, about this time, we were all getting very big into skateboarding. It was making a resurgence. No longer were we riding the, you know, the banana boards and stuff from earlier generations, but we were doing our own thing.
Yeah, we were heading into Hawktown when Tony Hawk.
From the rumors I've read, I've never heard Tony Hawk specifically say, I love some 720 and it inspired me. I'm not saying he hasn't said that, but I have heard a lot of people attribute his love to 720 for some of the things that he was inspired.
Yeah, he's roughly my age.
I'm not saying that's a fact.
He's just a little older than me, but he would have been prime age for this being really attractive and fun for him, you know?
I mean, that's mostly what you were doing at that time. If you were starting out with skating, you weren't doing a lot of big tricks. You were just doing some ollies and some jumps and, you know, trying to do some, you know, some flips, kick it around a couple of times. That was the goal. If you could do a 720, you're a badass. Mm-hmm. You know, that's two full circles around.
It was a big deal. And the game, we should mention this, the reason, you know, what the game was all about was you doing really great tricks and earning enough points to unlock other courses. And once you did, you could go there, but you had to hurry because everything's on a timer. And if the timer hits skate or die mode, this like glowing freaking bee wasp swarm chases you. And it changes shape. It turns into like a biting thing. It turns into other stuff.
It's very like Tex Avery, Warner Brothers, old school Bugs Bunny type of stuff. Because they fly as a swarm of bees, and they do shape. They turn into hands and needles. I was kind of confused. Like, wait, is that a hypodermic needle? Can you do that? Can you put a hypodermic needle on a video game
for kids? Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you believe it? Who would think of the children, Brian?
But I love this game so much because it allowed you to do some of the things that I would just dream of, to be skating around and having money floating around in the air. That's how you earned money. You would grab money just flying around in the streets, I guess, from other skaters who were unfortunate and they lost their money. And then you would go to different spots on the board, on the map, that would sell you stuff like upgrades to your helmets and your board, your shoes and all that stuff. And that would make you a little faster or able to, you know, score more points. I don't know all of the exactly what was working. I just know that when I would do those things, those upgrades, I would be a little better. And I know I wasn't getting better. So
yeah, no,
it had to be the upgrades.
It had to be the upgrades. Yeah. I felt that way too. This is another game I was notoriously bad at. I tried to be good at it. I was never as good as Mark. Maybe that was the problem. I kept comparing myself to him, but the System 2 board that always I would win at, there it is again, was Marble Madness. That's the machine where I would spend all my time and do really well at, and was better than my friends at it. So we all had our game. It's fine.
I want to say some of the music that came into this was from Marble Madness. So they were all basically from what I understood from the moratorium, they were all kind of working in the same building.
Yeah.
And they were all peeking in on each other's work, you know, and, you know, teams were forming. Just a different time, because you would come up with an idea for a game, and you would pitch it. And, that was the expectation. They wouldn't fire you after you finished a project. They would go, okay, what's next? And a lot of people got to go and work on a bunch of these games together. And that's amazing.
It was a bit of a renaissance for Atari in the arcade. Oh,
absolutely.
Not at home so
Atari
much,
was you know? Killing it here.
At home, they were still doing pretty good at home, but arcade was still a priority for that company.
Right.
And they were not sitting back on their laurels. They were making good games.
They reached a little too far. They tried to...
almost touched the sun, and then they burned.
They flew a little too close to the sun,
mm-hmm.
and we said, pump the brakes.
Brian, I prepared for you pump a 30-second montage of voice samples from 720. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, I would love that, because there's a lot of fun things that are said there.
There's a part of this where I'm pretty sure they're having a bit of a personal moment, but I'll play it and you can hear it. All right? Here you go.
Hey, kid, over here. Hey, come here. Thanks a lot, kid. Here you go. What do you think this is, a charity organization? Get out of here, you punk. Hey, you can't get in here if you don't have a ticket. Come back when you got a ticket. Take it easy. Tell you what, come back when you got some money. Hey, good choice, kid. You're gonna love it.
There were a lot more than that, but I only captured 30 seconds of it.
Most of those were the shop owners and the park entrance. You start off with... you can start off kind of in a training mode, or if you kind of really want to go play with the experience mode is where you want to go to. You start off with a couple of tickets so you can get into some parks, because like you said, the timer is constantly going down. Even once you're inside the obstacles and the parks, those are also counting down, and usually it's based on what kind of medal you'll get or sticker you'll get to put on the bottom of your board.
Yep.
If you accomplish something, you put it on the bottom of your board, and they just keep accruing on the top of your board as you play along.
Seemed to me that stick broke a lot, though. Do you remember that?
It have to. That was also something I found interesting. Atari was really pushing their game developers to make use of unique controls, which is great. But there's a reason why joystick and buttons are the de facto, because they're durable, right? We've played with a million times. This salad bowl controller, while unique, and for the most part, worked pretty darn good, and it was, you know, well tested. You know, still, kids are idiots.
Oh, they're big idiots. Yeah,
yeah. And so these were bound to be. I'm surprised there's many working units of these things out there, because
it is surprising, because when we would go in and use them, I mean, people were cranking on that thing.
Yeah,
just cranking.
And it was already getting you jacked up.
Yeah, and you could hear it across the arcade, and they're always moving it around, and then half the time it was like, there's a sign says it's broken, can't play it today.
Yeah, that salad bowl stick would get looser over time. Like I would go to some of them and they'd be kind of stiffish, but as they would get looser and people would do it, you could kind of just spin it around really fast and kind of like almost let it just kind of, you know, forward momentum.
That's the way we used to choose those trackballs. People would just go.
Yeah.
Destroy them. I don't know how anything made it. And if you'd be pissed, some kids would just put gum in there and then roll it into the gum. And then you were screwed. Nobody could play it after that.
What a good idea. Price your item at really inexpensive and then invite a bunch of teenagers unsupervised into your place.
It's a horrible
idea.
A bunch
of loud noise.
It's a bad combo, man. Bad scene.
It's a terrible combo.
And I was part of that scene for a while. I remember being a bit of a wiener. Like when I was playing, we'd play Super Sprint, which we've covered on the show before. We have a whole episode about it. Mm-hmm. I would, if I lost on my way out of, well, when I'd lose, because eventually you lose, I would spin that wheel so effing hard.
Yeah.
It's breaking.
It was like the Price is Right for me, baby. It's like.
Yeah. It was like I was doing the Large Hadron Collider, just like smashing atoms in there. And I didn't care. I was 16 and F everybody, you know?
Yeah, if this place, I don't care. I'm not coming back. What are you going to do, kick me out? I wish you would kick me out.
What are you going to do, give me tickets? I can buy a spider ring? What are you going to do? Yeah. Nothing? Anyway, those games are great. I highly recommend playing them now. I think Paperboy, Arcade is still very good. I think the control's a little wonky on it. The NES version controls a little better. The 720 arcade, however, I had no problem with I used an analog stick on that and emulated it on a PC, and it was fine.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's fine.
It turns out analog sticks kind of do that. They kind of can create the stir, right?
They really can. And just as over general, just for gameplay, I had no trouble with the analog stick, but I could not perform any of the big trick. I couldn't do a 720 because you already have to get a good kick and jump to even get started to do that, and then trying to do that with this thumbstick, I just couldn't pull it off.
That was for psycho nerds who were really good at things.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, the experts.
And that wasn't us.
But the 720 for the NES, that's right, NES got a version of this as well. This was actually, in my opinion, a little more interesting than the NES Paperboy because it went with a different style entirely. You had like a chubbier character. It was once again more simplified. But I kind of enjoyed it. It wasn't too bad.
I was going to ask you about it because I didn't play this week.
Right.
I know when I look at, well, I'm looking at video now, it's not as, it's actually looks like it runs real well. Like it does
because this was easy to emulate because I had a digital D-pad that simulates, you know, the NES, no problems.
Yeah. Piece of cake. Yeah, I mean, I've checked it out. I'll look at this one.
It's okay. I would definitely recommend the arcade versions of these. The problem is it's becoming harder. Like the Mr. We talk about this, the Mr. FPGA, which is the hardware emulation.
Can I say something real quick about the Mr.? This is a totally problem. It's got nothing to do with the Mr. There's a chain of, you know, giant car washes where they got like room for 100 cars to come in there and wash their cars.
Right.
There's this place near us called Mr. Car Wash.
Okay.
And it's got a giant Mr. out front, and it's the same font always see used for the freaking Mr. FPGA. So every time I see it, two things happen. One, I go, oh, I should really clean my car. And then the other one is, I should get a Mr. and finally try that damn thing. Anyway,
you really should, but not for Paperboy or any Atari system too. I've seen some activity in the last couple of years on the System 1 boards and those games, but no activity on the System 2 that I've seen. I don't know if there's just no interest in it because of the interfacing, because you're already talking about if you want to really emulate it accurately, you've got to come up with some controls that are going to be accurate as well, I suppose.
Yeah, it's tricky.
It is tricky. It's tricky to rock a rhyme.
It's tricky to rock a rhyme. That's really, right on time. It's tricky. Yeah.
But if you want to play the arcade versions, you're going to have a little tougher time. The best experience I found was the Midway Treasures edition on the PS2. Oh. So much so that I ordered it. Oh, my God. There's so many great games on that system for this. It has all of the freaking games we've talked about here on the show. It's just a great collection. Midway Treasures 1, because they reissued it, because they just originally released it at Midway Treasures by itself, and then they released a second one, so they went back and reprinted one. But fairly inexpensive. I paid like $10.
Well, that's not bad. You also plan to
play it right on my PS2, which I have an HDMI adapter for, or you can run, or you can just get it and rip it and play it in, play it on your RetroArch.
Get it, rip it, stick it all
rub
to it, it.
Rub it down.
Rub it down, get it going. I don't know, I'm getting in weird territory.
Get it going.
I'm getting it going,
Ma.
Those are our games this week, and we hope you guys check those out a little bit further. If you want to see what we talked about video-wise, make sure you check out the YouTube archive, which will be up at frogpants.tv. Yes, Brian, what were you going to say?
I just one last thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I enjoyed this, and maybe it won't translate, but reading it really gave me joy. On MobyGames.com, which is a great database that I use those guys all the time.
Yeah.
They have ad blurbs, which is the advertisements either on the arcade flyers or for the back of the boxes.
Yeah.
And so people, they get a little bit of verbiage from the companies, and they get a little option to tweak them up a little bit. But here's the one for the back of the NES box. Hop on your bike for a freewheeling ride up the avenues of not-so-typical suburbia. This is Paperboy, by the way. There are papers to be delivered, robbers to be foiled, and fame and fortune to be won as you brave the mean streets. Okay. It's pretty boilerplate.
Yeah,
for the
standard,
NES
pretty standard.
US version, right? Yeah. Okay. So then let's give you what the Atari Lynx was trying to go for.
Okay,
they're more rebellious, right? They're trying to get that hard edge, right? So here you're going to jump aboard your heavy duty bike for a ride through the burbs.
Yeah.
Avoid hazards like motorcycles, brawling dudes, mad dogs, and crazed grannies. Don't remember seeing the crazed grannies. Bust the windows of those non-customers, deliver to your subscribers, and earn big points by mastering the radical training course.
Yeah.
Keep it up for a week and you'll get to keep your job.
Yeah.
Lynx.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty good. I like it. I like it. I like some flavor text that goes a little far, goes a little hard.
I don't know if it was because it was Atari and they could make their own stuff, and NES felt like they had to use the boilerplate shipped out from the Atari. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
It makes me want to play the Lynx version.
That's freaking great. Well, let's move on now. Let's move on to something we do each week that's a little bit fun because the chat likes to pipe in.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess My Game or Our Game. Doesn't matter how you say
You know what I did this week?
What'd you do? Did you write it down so you knew what it was?
I wrote it down. It down.
You actually know what it is? Sweet.
I actually know what it is this week. Can you believe it?
Oh, I can kind of believe it. Barely.
Yeah.
But not entirely. Let's find out how this goes, though. I've got a sound clip from an old game, and Brian's going to try to guess it. This is a Super Nintendo game from the year 1993. All right? Big year.
93?
You get your Jurassic Parks and your... Your Schindler's List, same year. Pretty crazy. Anyway, so here it is. Let's see if you can figure it out. You ready for this? Here we go.
Give me. That's a change up.
Yeah, a little change. You hit start and it goes. Let's get this. Any guesses so far?
I don't recognize this at all, but I like it. Whatever it is,
it's got
music. My jam in it.
Yep. I'll give you a hint. This is a...
You want me to ask questions or are you just going to give
you
me go, a
hint? I'll give you one hint just above everything else and then you can... It doesn't count against
you. Give me a little hint.
So this is a major... that may distract you, but I'll say it's a major developer in Japan, but it's a worldwide release, not just a Japanese game.
Worldwide release...
But big dev name in Japan that you know.
Okay. All right. It's very jaunty, so it makes me think it's gonna be is it a sports game?
No.
Interesting.
Not even close.
Wow. Is it a side-scrolling platformer?
It is not side-scrolling. Has some platforming elements.
Okay.
But I will tell you, it is sort of pseudo top down, not even three quarter, more straight down. But
this is very exciting and energetic for a top down game. Usually, this is a lot faster paced. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this a franchise character? Is this based around a franchise character for
like an IP
Nintendo?
Or something, or a Nintendo?
Yeah.
You mean a game franchise or something outside of Nintendo, like a film or something else?
Right. No. I'll narrow it down. I'll say is it a Nintendo IP?
No.
How about that?
It is not.
No. Okay.
Although at the time, the way this company worked,
were
they
married?
Doing a
that,
lot
were the
of
companies them. Really married in together.
They were
them?
Tied in a lot this era.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could easily miss. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. And that carried over NES through SNES was a pretty strong relationship.
Interesting. Oh, that almost sounded like some Mario coinage there, though.
It's not.
You
though.
Said, but it's not Mario.
Here, I'll play it again. That's just a start.
Wow, that is some Mario sounding. They must have borrowed that from the Nintendo library. Holy hell.
It does feel very. It's really this bit, though. that to me, that makes it just completely memorable.
Yeah, I've got no idea, so I'm gonna have to go with
I can tell you one person
dragon is
in the chat.
Is dragon meat 2.
That is incorrect. I'm gonna go ahead and play that. The game is called Goof Troop. This was a game from Capcom is the developer. And Goof Troop is weird and awesome. Someone in the chat got it.
I played this not that long ago. I do love Goof Troop.
Ron Wood in the chat got it. Congratulations.
I should have guessed that it was so fun it was Disney.
It's super fun. And you can co-op, which is really fun, but you can also play alone. The co-op works with you. It's you and your son, so it's Goofy and Max. Yeah, Max.
Max.
And you go through this world trying to get all the fruit and take out all the enemies. I don't have a very good description of this game, but it's fun.
It's very Zelda-like, though. I mean, it looks...
In a lot of ways, yes. Kind of some puzzle solving, but mostly the puzzles are about destroying other creatures and stopping them from rampaging or whatever. Just a really fun game. Holds up. I think it's underrated. One of the better SNES games that no one mentions. And Capcom did a good job with it. And the music's awesome. And there's a 10-hour remix of the music on YouTube.
What?
Yeah, I know. They do that a lot.
That's a lot of Goof Troop. I don't recognize... I've watched plenty of the Goof Troop. I'm surprised I didn't recognize any of the music. It didn't sound like a variation on any of the themes.
That would have got me, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's mileage may vary. But you get these little tools, like you got grappling hooks and stuff to, you know.
Yeah, like Zelda.
Stuff. It's like Zelda. You pick up stuff, throw it. It's a lot like Zelda, actually, now that you say it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Zelda if all you did in Zelda was the dungeon fights.
Yeah.
But that's what this is.
A lot more dungeon fights.
Yeah, no real... There's some puzzles, but they're more about, well, I got to get out of here because there's four guys coming at me. So how do I get out of here? Yeah. It's very good. I would recommend playing this now. This game holds up.
That's good.
Runs great on that AmberNick as well. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours, but you have to give me my initial hints about year and all that.
Absolutely. So this week, I don't feel like we give enough love to the Sega Master System. Right before we had the Genesis, we had the Master System, also one of my first true console. Mm-hmm. This is from 1990.
Oh, my Lord. That's a good year.
That's all you get. So kind of late.
Late to the game.
Yeah.
Let's find out. Here we go. Definitely sounds like a Master System game.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, this might kill me if I played it. All right, is this a Sega joint, like one of their games?
It is developed and published by Sega.
Okay.
Sega.
Is it a side-scrolling game?
It is a side-scrolling game. Yes. I don't want to give you more than that.
Okay. What's the name of that little guy?
The little guy. You know the little guy.
Hold on. I call it little guy, but what do I mean? It's not... Okay, this is a... I guess that has to be one of my questions. So this is question number two.
Right.
Is it Alex Kidd?
No, it is not.
Okay, well then
it is not Alex Kidd. But that's a good guess.
Side scrolling? Sega published?
1990? How about I give you this too?
Okay.
It wasn't only on the Master System.
It's a Genesis also?
Yeah. And the Game Gear.
And the Game Gear.
Came out on the Saturn.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not one of those Wonder Boy games. Is it Wonder Boy?
No, but I thought about doing that. I've been thinking about doing an episode on that one. I've been wanting to do that one.
All right, that's my third question.
That series.
All right. Let me make a guess. Oh, my gosh. Is it Shinobi?
Ooh, no, I did play some Shinobi this past week because I was playing some Spider-Man and found out that Spider-Man was in one of the Shinobi games. Didn't know that.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. It is K Castle of Illusion starred Mickey Mouse.
Oh, shit. I love Castle of Illusion.
Property.
And you know what? The Game Gear version of Castle of Illusion might be the best one of them all. It's actually pretty good. Really good. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Ah, yep. Shoot. That's a horrible soundtrack.
It's like Sean got it right as was getting ready to say it. Yeah.
Castle of Illusion. Someone in the chat got it? Who got it?
Sean got it.
Nicely done. Oh, and some other said Wonder Boy. Who else said Alex Kidd? Mm-hmm. A couple in
Alex
there.
Alex Kidd, Wonder Boy.
Yeah. That's a hard one.
It's got that vibes. It's probably got some, similar audio files, probably.
Castle of Illusion on the Genesis is considered a classic. I think the Game Gear one was actually a better game.
Reason why I didn't use the Sega Genesis version. I figured it would be
too easy. Yeah. I played that one a bunch. There is a part of that game that gets so stupid and obtuse that I have to quit every time I get to that section.
Yeah.
It's just like, what are we doing?
It's a little brutal.
Yeah. It's hard. That game is hard. This is not Mario, folks. Even Mario was hard then, but
yeah.
Anyway.
But it's very much like Mario, though. Boy, if you look at some of the levels and stuff, you're like, oh man, what am I playing Mario here?
What is it? I just thought, what are the chances he'll do a Disney thing? And I just didn't think it was possible, but you did.
I was worried you might ask me. I was like, oh, good.
Did one. We got Goof Troop and frickin' Mickey.
Yeah.
Damn it. All right. Well, it's still fun to do, but also this is
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
We got a call, and I want to play it. Would you like to hear the phone call that I'm going to play?
Oh, did they dial on their rotary phone?
They did. They called 801-471-0462, and they said this.
Hey, guys, it's Game Blips out of Wisconsin, listening to Play Retro 72, Castle Wolfenstein. You're talking about what had blood, what didn't have blood. The Genesis version, I'm pretty sure somebody may have said it in chat, but there's a big spiel in the beginning when it starts doing the load screen, the music is going on. It's talking about codes. So you can turn it off after you've turned it on. You have to put in a code, which is, ironically, I don't know why I remember this, ABACABB. But yeah, you have to turn it on or else you get nothing. There is no sweat, no nothing. It's just guys getting their heads boxed backwards.
Yep.
All right.
Cool. I did not know that.
Keep a good work, guys. Talk to you later.
I don't remember that either. I don't remember you had to enable it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I thought it was in there by default, but that makes sense.
Yeah. That was Wolf Games, right?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That was awesome.
Yeah. Nice. I love getting calls. I also like getting emails and text. For example, here's an email. Love the show, says Eric. The earliest gaming consoles my father bought us were Pong and the Atari 2600. But one of the best experiences I had is when he got us a Commodore 64 with Zork.
We live in the same household or what?
I know, feels like it. Have you considered an episode dedicated to the text-based adventure games? Thanks, Eric.
Yes.
I think we should. We've done some stuff, but I'd love
Absolutely.
To do more. Absolutely. Yeah, would love
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was actually thinking about the Quest Probe games this past week. It's text-based, but it's still, it's got like the little single-screen graphics and stuff. But the Spider-Man Quest Probe, the Marvel stuff was always a lot of fun.
You know what you just reminded me of? Did you hear the Quest has a subscription now? $7.50 a month?
No.
Or $7.99? Yeah, you get it.
I did not know that.
They do it like the base level PlayStation Plus thing where you get curated games every month, like two or three games or something.
Okay.
Could be interesting. $7, not bad.
I might have tried that for a little while. And we're not talking about Quest Probe anymore. We're talking about that Facebook company that used to be something else.
Yeah, the Quest 2 and 3 and all that.
Yeah.
I might check it. I hate it when they announce the 3 because now my 2 feels old, so I don't want to use it.
You've instantly made my 2 feel old.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
I may have to sell it or something. I don't know. Or I should keep it because one day it'll be a relic, and it'll be cool to look at.
I'm about to say, Scott every week comes on and goes, I can't believe I sold that.
I know.
And then it's like, immediately it's like, oh, I'm going to sell this.
I do it every time. I don't know what my problem is. I'm no longer selling my consoles. Although it feels like if I... Like a PS5 or a Series X seems like a good thing to sell now.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm just dumb.
It's a very dangerous thing. I tell people this. They're like, oh, I can't believe you got all this cool stuff. I'm like, it's very dangerous. You could easily become a hoarder. I only keep all the stuff that I keep because it works in with what we're doing.
Right.
Otherwise, I would definitely not have the energy to maintain all these systems. Just for my own personal entertainment.
At this rate, that would be, the two of us together could melt down all the plastic we have from the game crap we've collected and then build like coffins for each other or something like that.
Yeah, totally. That'd be great. Let's do that.
Bury me in like video game plastic and silicone. Oh,
Right. And a controller in my hand.
That's right.
And a big stupid smile on my face.
Give me a GameCube for a pillow, you know, whatever.
give me the paper boy controller in my hands and the salad stirrer coming out of my pants.
Yeah, it's doing this. But automate it so that your arms are going like this a lot and you're right. And the thing in your pants is swinging around. This is a great idea. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you for that email, Eric. We also got one from Dave Southard. Southard, I think is how you say it. In Madison, he says, Dear Scott, and an original Brian, to me, he's original because of ELR, he says. That's great.
Oh, old, kicking it back.
Old
yeah.
school. He says, I noticed because you told us that the next episode's topic is going to be Skate or Die, but that's not what we told you. We told you it would be 720.
We anyway, might have said 720 Skate or Die, but you know, that's not really.
We brought name. It up, but he says, I wanted to let you know about a documentary on Amazon called Pretending I'm Superman.
Oh.
It's about Tony Hawk Pro Skater's video game, and it watches a lot like a video game version or episode of the show. Hmm. Obviously not as good, but similar concept. They reference Skate or Die, which is why I wrote in this week, love the show.
Oh, I'll have to check that because we talked earlier about, you know, I wasn't sure what influence, if any, Tony Hawk.
Yeah, but also this might, if Skater dies is a separate thing, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. But once again, a lot of people call 720 Skater Die as well because, yeah.
Yeah.
It's you know,
this looks
that's what you said. It's like calling whatever song you hear the chorus that they keep repeating over and over again because you assume that's the name of the song, right?
Right, exactly. But I want to see this because the big Tony Hawk documentary on HBO, also excellent, by the way. Highly recommend it. Goes into a lot of the game stuff as well. It's mostly about Tony Hawk's career, but they get into the game stuff a little bit. But yeah, I'll check this out. Pretending I'm Superman, the Tony Hawk video game story on love Amazon it. Prime Video. I'm going to bookmark this right now. Okay, it's on my watch list. Thank you for that. We love hearing about these sorts of things, so keep those coming.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, man. We appreciate it. Finally, we're going to get out of here with a notice of sorts about our next game discussion. We're going to talk about the Secret of Mana and the Mana series at large. Next week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
I know nothing about it and I wanted to learn.
Well, more turn-based RPGs for you from the JRPG revolution that was the 90s, everybody. So tuck in. That'll be fun to talk about. Everybody's talking about Final Fantasy 16. Let's go back in time to when Square was doing other shit.
Yeah.
And these were spinoffs. People don't know
that. That's my understanding, but I don't understand yet, so I look forward to researching it.
Yeah, not everyone understands just how spinoffy this is.
Yeah,
but there's some stuff there, so we'll get all into it and see what's what. I think Trials of Mana is the one everyone loves the most.
Right, I know I've heard the Secret of Mana the most. That's
maybe,
usually
maybe
the
it's
one
Secret.
I always hear
it's
about.
Either Trials or Secret that everybody thinks is just the ultimate awesome game. I don't know which one, but we'll find out because we got
Sword
to do
of Mana.
Research.
There's all kind of stuff.
One of these days, I'm going to get Brian and I talking about Golden Sun 1 and 2.
Sooner than you think.
I know. And they just put those up on the eShop as well, or in the downloady thing. What do you call it?
Speaking of that, you should, if you want to play something that is like Paperboy, you should head over and play, is it Video Boy or Video Kid? The Video Kid is on almost every system. It is like Paperboy. But you're delivering videotapes.
Oh, here it is. Oh, this looks great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they totally made a thing.
Yeah, super, super much like Paperboy, but with videos, cassettes that you're delivering.
Oh, this reviewing good too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get this. Is this on like Steam and stuff?
Kid.
I think so. Here's the
it's on the Switch, the PS4, the Xbox stuff.
This looks great.
Oh, and it's on the iOS, which I downloaded.
Oh, the iOS. All right.
Yeah, the iOS.
Well, get in there and get that done if you're into it. Anyway, that'll be next week, everybody. So we'll see you then for that. In the meantime, I'd like to thank some patrons. Big new folks like Drew Burris, Justin Eachman, Gordon Burnett, Dingus Texas, and Semsi, I think is how you say it. All brand new folks who support the show now. We really appreciate their support. I have some great news. Would you like to hear this great news?
Oh, give me some good news.
So we got a dude on in our Discord. I'm going to pull up the info here. His name is, or his screen name, just so I don't, I don't want people to chase him down. His name is Wuhan Man. Woojman.
Woojman. Yeah, Woojman. Yeah,
you've seen him around doing stuff.
Yeah.
He is going to make, or is making, he's hacking, basically he's hacking a Tecmo football ROM. for the NES that we're going to be able to provide to all of you. And in that ROM, we are going to have the Film Sackers, a team called the Fart Gassers, the Explosive
the
Tips,
Fart Gassers,
the different names and stuff. And we're going to get to have our names in there. We're going to be actual players. And everyone who's a patron here and at Core at the higher levels of any of the Patreons for those two shows are going to be players in the game. So you're all going to...
I'm seeing some of these shots, too. It's in the Discord, like you said. It's on the Play Retro chat for sure. The fart gas, like you said, Admiral Snack Bars.
Yep. Yep, I get it. Get it, what we did there. There's also a way to hack the art so each team can have its own art. We're trying to figure that out and whether I even have the skills to do it. But
I think you do.
But Woojman is the stud and has put together some cool stuff. I want to be on the Explosive Tips. That sounds great.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh,
oh, yeah. Here he's got the teams. Trek Nerds, the Windy Therapists, the Cold Killers, or the Cord Killers, Coverville Crew, Shit Gratifters, Punish Props, Daily Tech Nerds, let's see, Current Geeks, the Morning Streamers, Tadpoolers, Rock Runners, Dungeon Murderers, and Admiral Snack Bars, just to name a few. Oh, then there's the other division. We got Fart Gas, Craftless Rogues, Wood Whisperers, Politics, Politics, Politics. That's a weird team name.
Everybody.
Lake Runners, Future, say Retro Players, Funny Hat Guys, Town Criers, Explosive Tips, Kim's Cooks, I guess, or Kooks, Film Sackers, Soundography Spinners, Coverville DJs, and Fred's Cans.
And all Fred's Cans.
So isn't that great? Look at this guy.
That's
He's
amazing.
A stud.
Love it.
So I'm working with him on the side here to figure out what we're going to do, but we're going to make something rad for you guys, and you'll all be able to download it and play it. No matter who you are, you'll get it. But if you're a higher level patron for us on either of the shows I mentioned, you're in the game.
You're in the get in the game, Scott.
You're in the game. That's right. So anyway, more on that as we get closer to it, but I'm very excited about it. Plus, yeah. Super Tecmo Bowl is an amazing game. So good.
Yeah. Thank you, new patrons. Great. I hope you're enjoying your new video. I just threw a video up of some gameplay from the 720 Skate or Dead.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for doing that. That looked great. That looks awesome.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yep. I've been working on my setup, my system.
We're going to put more bonus content up there as time goes on that no one is even paying us for. It's just normal bonus content.
Just because we love you
just
so much.
Just because we like you. Anyway, come get be a member today. Patreon.com/PlayRetro. No commercials ever. Pre-show content every week and monthly benefits you can only get by being a member at Patreon.com/PlayRetro. That's going to do it for us. Brian, you have anything to add before we get out of here?
Yeah, there's some bees in my office, so I'm going to go skate or die.
Oh, my gosh. Get those bees. It's going to turn into a comb or something or whatever
It
does. So don't get killed. Be safe. That'll do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week. Go do something retro before we see you next time. And we'll see you next Wednesday. Bye, everyone.
Skate or
get more at frogpants.com.
Skate or die.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.